This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by HeartWise Ministries. Welcome, everyone. We get a lot of questions on the heartwiseministries.org website on the subject of longevity. People want to know how to live well and live long, which are both admirable aspirations. Here to answer such questions is Seattle-based ER doctor Tim Riesenberger. He joins us via Skype, and he insists that there are some simple and practical things we can do now to help us pile on healthy years later. Dr. Riesenberger, welcome back to HeartWise.
Thank you so much, Charles. It's great to be back.
Let's begin with the basics. How do you, an ER doctor, a scientist, how do you define longevity?
It's not just the quantity of years, but the quality of years that you have. Longevity isn't just living longer than others, but not having to suffer from the diseases that they do. Having that energy, that clarity of mind, that sense of purpose that many people lose in their older years.
Lose in their older years. Dr. Tim, people 20 and 30 years old are having this same problem. They see no reason to get up in the morning. They see no reason to put one foot in front of the other. It's happening earlier and earlier, wouldn't you say?
It's very true. Those golden years seem to be more and more elusive as the days go on.
Okay. All right. What have you found are some of the key factors that contribute to a longer, healthier life, which we all want?
Well, what we like to share in my wife and I, we have a coaching program, and we use the elements that are derived from the longevity zones. And it's called Eternal Life. That is our acronym. And those stand for election, like your purpose, your ikigai. T, trust in the Creator. E, exercise. R, rest. N, nutrition. A, air. L is light.
That spells eternal. Next is life.
And what's very interesting is the second L is one that I rarely hear people use, and that's love and be loved, which is actually the most health-promoting, powerful emotion in the world. I is ice. I don't know if you've heard of ice plunge, but we also couple ice with water, drinking enough water, because of course ice, when it melts, becomes water. F is family and friends. And the last but not least, which is our proprietary acronym, is E, evaluate, because it's not a one-size-fits-all in the longevity equation.
Interesting that you say it that way, because a lot of people see, here's the list, follow this list and you'll be better. But that list may not work for them personally. Am I right in saying that?
That is correct. Everyone has to figure things out for themselves. In fact, one of my favorite authors who recommends beans, as we just found out in our last program, as an element of longevity, she said that beans are poison to me. So some people can't tolerate beans. And the way she figured that out was our key, which is evaluate. She had cramping, she had gas, she had bloating when she ate beans. So she knew that her body was not going to do well on beans, even though in general, it is the most correlated food for longevity.
And as your lovely wife on our last program mentioned, the soaking of the beans and the proper cooking of the beans are very important to the nutrition factor and the health factor of those beans, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. They need to be either sprouted or soaked and well cooked. It's not just what you're eating, but how you prepare it, because it's not what you eat that matters. It's what you absorb.
Okay, longevity. I want to live a long time. I want to live for many years. And like you said at the beginning of the program, I want to live well. I want to live happy. I want to live strong and healthy. What are the key foods? You mentioned beans. What are some of the key foods that we need for doing that?
Well, the number one cause of death, not only in the United States, but really all around the world, is heart disease.
Yes.
And most people would assume that because that's the case, you should avoid high-fat foods. And that is true when it comes to saturated fats, like animal product fat, mm-hmm. saturated mm-hmm. fats. But when you look at actual nuts that are extremely high in fat, eating nuts 3 or 4 times a week is correlated to tremendous reduction in heart disease. Hmm. Basically, you're eating a lot of monounsaturates, a lot of right. polyunsaturated right. fats, and that, of course, lowers your LDL and raises your HDL.
Okay, all right. Now, any conversation about longevity and about diet has to include the idea of fasting. I've heard mm-hmm. many people talk about it, yes and no, don't do it, do it, and also calorie restriction. What's your take on it about fasting and calorie restriction? Are they important to lifestyle and to life longevity?
Absolutely, mm-hmm. they are. And I will just say this, is that anyone who does want to fast, of course, they should consult their physician yeah. prior to doing so. There are certain people who cannot fast, like water only, for example.
Yeah.
But when you look at the animal literature, when they allow animals to eat what we call ad lib or however much they want, they tend to die sooner than when you calorie restrict them. But the same is true with human beings. They used to say a BMI of less than 20 was too skinny.
Yes.
But now they've found that lower BMI individuals live longer. There's no arguing with the data. And most recently, out of USC, they've done some literature on fasting. I think they were looking at a 72-hour fast, and they found that that resets your immune system. And there's other entities that have shown that if you want to harvest the largest circulating pool of stem cells, you create massive amount of stem cells when you refeed after a prolonged fast. And of course, many of us are so intimidated by that that we would never think of not eating for a day, but there's the intermittent fast.
Yes.
That's a very simple way people can fast. And that's just simply putting your two meals 5 or 6 hours apart and then fasting until the next meal. So I recommend breakfast at 7 a.m., lunch at 1 p.m., and then just water in between those times. And what you'll find is you don't want to fast later in the day. A lot of people will say, well, I don't eat till lunch, and then I eat lunch and supper. The problem is if you don't eat breakfast, you are actually going to gain the equivalent of 1 pound of fat per week.
Wow.
Because your body feels like it's starving.
Yes.
And so it turns down the thermostat, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure to break the fast, eat that breakfast, and then have your second meal be a little bit later afternoon.
Because your body works very hard to save itself. It does not want to be harmed in any way. So that would seem to the body saying, ooh, something's really wrong here.
That's correct. You got it.
Okay. What other daily habits can we do to promote longevity? We want to live a long time and we want to live well. What do we need to do other than diet?
I think that many of the habits that we traditionally think of, such as exercise, sleep, air, breathing, are very important. But I would like to interject a thought that the vast majority of these things is really occurring in our mind, between our two ears.
Hmm.
Most of health or disease has its origin there. And I think one of the biggest things in your mind is what emotions are taking up residence, so to speak, in your mind. They've looked at type A personalities. All of us are familiar with the executive,
The
go-getters, those that are on time, those that are organized, those that are very ambitious, but none of those qualities harm them. The only two qualities that harm the type A personality and actually give them a shorter lifespan are hostility and intolerance.
Wow. Wow.
So it's okay for you to be on time, but what if someone else isn't?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. It's okay for you to be opinionated, but what if someone else doesn't agree with you? You know, it's those things that actually harm us. I use an illustration where I'll have somebody grab my cell phone, which, by the way, is a very big robber of longevity.
Yes.
And I'll have them hold it at arm's length. And I'll say, does this cell phone feel heavy to you? They said, of course not. And I said, no, it depends on how long you hold on to it for. And many small things that we could resolve between our spouses, between our families, become big things because we simply hold on to it too long.
Wow, that is important information right there. That is excellent. We're talking with Dr. Tim Riesenberger. He's an ER doctor in the Seattle area. And this next question for an ER doctor, let's talk about sleep. Sleep quality affects aging and longevity. How do you, a busy ER doctor who apparently they say very seldom sleeps, how do you get by with that?
Well, you're absolutely true. They recently published a series on physicians and the average lifespan. Number one was family practice,
interestingly enough.
Wow. And family practice, of course, can also be very busy, but they have a lot of long-term relationships. They have a lot of the sort of family and friends input because many of their patients become lifetime friends. Mm-hmm. The lowest level of longevity, unfortunately, was the emergency physician.
Yeah.
And they attributed that to the shift work, the night work, the changing of the schedules, because many times R isn't just for rest, but R is for routine. If you eat at the same time, if you get up at the same time, you go to sleep at the same time, you exercise at the same time, your body thrives on routine, on regularity. And that is a big issue with sleep. Many people, they have very awkward sleep schedules because their favorite program comes on and they end up on a screen for many hours before they try to go to sleep, and then they can't go to sleep. So I always recommend no screens at least 3 hours before you go to bed.
Do you follow your own advice, Dr. Riesenberger?
I do as best as possible, but I must confess there are times when I am not even getting out of work until after midnight. I am looking at the computer screen because, of course, as you know, we don't use paper charts anymore.
We're
looking at a computer screen. Probably, sadly, I spend more time with the computer screen than with my patients now, I would imagine.
Oh, well, we may have to forgive you because you are saving lives, and that's kind of important, too. All right.
We try. That gives me the icky guy. That's right.
Exactly. We'll take a short break now, and when we come back, we're talking with Dr. Tim Riesenberger. When we come back on our discussion of longevity, I want to talk supplements and nutrients that support long and healthy life. What do we need to be taking? What pills do we need to be popping? Or where do we get this nutrition from? And we'll find that out on our return. So everybody stay right where you are.
HeartWise with Charles Mills is brought to you by supporters of HeartWise Ministries. We are so grateful to be able to follow Christ's example of caring for others' physical needs and then encouraging them to experience a restorative relationship with our Heavenly Father. God intended for life on earth to be immeasurably better than the world we live in today, and He wants to restore His vision for this world one heart at a time. Consider becoming a HeartWise partner and help others catch the vision of what Christ wants to do in their hearts today by visiting us online at heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today is Dr. Tim Riesenberger. He is an ER physician in the Seattle, Washington area. Dr. Riesenberger is joining us via Skype, and we're talking about longevity. I would say probably everyone that's listening to this program wants to live that long and healthy life that Dr. Tim says we need to be living. What about supplements? You go to a store, a nutritional store, and oh my goodness, there's all kinds of supplements there, kinds of bottles and pills and whatnot. What should we be looking for when we go down those aisles?
Well, I would say you actually want to know what you should not be looking for. Many supplements are not derived from whole foods. And of course, whenever we refine something, we seldom make it better. And I will say this, most people are not aware that they should not be supplementing with iron. Were you aware that they remove that from multivitamins, not just because of the overdose potential for children who take hands full of these fruity flavored vitamins, but they found that iron supplementation actually shortens your lifespan?
Oh my goodness.
Yes, that's a well-known phenomenon. Something that's come up recently, I don't know if you're aware of this, is they're going to do the same with calcium. I don't know if you've heard of a calcium score when they look at your coronary arteries, but calcium will actually deposit in the plaques in your heart, in the coronary arteries. And a calcium deposit actually creates a higher risk blockage in your coronary arteries than one that's just pure cholesterol. So they're actually going to start removing calcium too from multivitamins because it is correlated with more dystrophic calcification, as we say. Wow. And the most deadly place it finds itself is, of course, those coronary arteries.
Words of advice here from Dr. Tim Riesenberger. What about stress levels, ER doctor? You have to have a lot of stress levels. How do you deal with it? Because you know that your mental health and your aging is impacted by stress. How do you deal with life and death situations and yet keep your head about you?
Well, I think we've mentioned part of it before. As we mentioned in our acronym Eternal Life,
yes,
on our website, onlylongevity.org, is we mentioned ice plunge. Mm-hmm. And what they found is doing ice plunge for 6 minutes a day actually down regulates your cortisol production. Huh. And what I explain to people is it's like this. When you first start doing cold plunge, you literally feel like you will die.
Yes.
You literally will have pain. You will feel maybe some numbness in your extremities, a deep ache, and your body will scream that it has to get out. And of course, you need to do this under a physician's supervision and not do anything foolish. But the feeling of emergency does not necessarily correlate to the reality of emergency. And that's what I explain to people is ice plunge doesn't just enhance your hormones, reduce your cortisol. It reevaluates the situation for you. So if you're used to jumping in, you know, 40 degree, 30 some degree water, you begin to realize what is a true emergency and what is not an emergency.
It would seem like it'd be a true emergency if I jumped into 40 degree water. You say you get over that?
Yeah. Yes, only 6 minutes is not going to probably give you hypothermia,
okay,
honestly. But
right,
another way to downregulate your cortisol, interestingly enough, is to go to sleep before midnight.
Oh, okay.
You have more hormonal production of favorable hormones if you go to sleep early. For example, there is a little surge of growth hormone that appears on average at 10 p.m. if you are unconscious,
yes,
before 10 p.m. But how many of us are really unconscious,
yeah,
before 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
Not really. And the problem is that spike of growth hormone will not reoccur no matter how much additional sleep you get.
Okay, all right. So let me see if we got this right. On the one hand, we have an ice plunge, and on the other hand, we have go to bed before midnight. I think I choose the second one. Would that be okay if I did that?
Yes, absolutely. Every little bit helps. I totally agree, Charles.
Exercise. We talk about exercise a lot on this program. What does exercise do to us that makes us live longer?
Well, exercise is very simply circulation, and perfect health depends on perfect circulation.
Okay, all right.
I think that people underestimate the fact that when you exercise, by and large, you can get many, many natural remedies. You can often do it outside.
Yeah.
You can get fresh air. You can get sunshine. You can do it with a friend and get friends and family. There are many, many benefits to exercise, but ultimately it comes down to the very age-old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. And when you're exercising, you're using your joints, you're engaging your mind, you're engaging your vision, many things that often fade over time when we don't use them actively.
Okay, gut health and probiotics, what do we need to know in that area?
Gut health is very, very important, and it starts from very early on. Many people are aware of an individual who has high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And of course, we're trying to figure out how to lower that blood pressure, but most people are not aware that simply giving them a dog will lower their blood pressure. Many people aren't aware that if they have a dog in the household when their child is born, that child's gut biome will be different.
Different in a good way?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Right, okay.
Less autoimmune diseases, less allergies. It's good in every way. Absolutely.
Okay.
Obviously, the pet has to be healthy to begin with and not diseased itself, because there are what we call zoonotic diseases, diseases that you can get from animals. We've all heard of the pregnant woman not changing the cat litter to avoid toxoplasmosis. And of course, you have to make sure to use common sense when you have an animal. But a healthy animal is a huge benefit, especially when it's a dog. The literature's very clear on that. And I think that with gut biome establishment, there's been more and more literature moving toward breastfeeding those children longer.
Mm-hmm.
Both the pediatric and OB literature has actually encouraged even benefits up to almost 2 years, if you can believe that now, for children breastfeeding. And but as we kind of say, when they're old enough to ask for it, it may be time to start introducing other foods to them. But it certainly does play a good role in gut health, the biome, immunity. And I think that what we're realizing now, even as adults, when you go to, let's say, the ER and get a prescription for antibiotics, even if I only give people a 3-day course, I'll say, take your antibiotic for breakfast, take it for supper, but for lunch, I want you to take a probiotic food. And I will tailor that food to that person's ethnicity, because I believe that there are some genetic and even cultural influences on our gut biome. So if someone is Japanese, they will have miso. If someone's German, like myself, Riesenburger, we will have sauerkraut. Someone who is, let's say, from the Middle East, they'll have kefir. Perhaps you've heard of kefir. Very healing probiotic food. And we will have them continue that, not just during the course of antibiotics, but for 2 to 3 months afterwards, because the literature has shown is that's how long it takes to rebuild that gut biome after we nuke it with antibiotics. Because, of course, antibiotics are not discriminatory. They kill the good as well as the bad.
Absolutely.
Many of you have heard of C. diff.
Oh, yes. That's a bacterium that can cause inflammation of the colon, right?
And that is a result of usage of antibiotics without probiotics.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. We're going to complete the program here in the next 60 seconds, and I want you to give me the 3 things we need to do starting today to start focusing on longevity. What do we need to do? Go.
Number one, it's in your mind. So every day, think of 10 new things that you are thankful for and share them with someone you love. Number two, build activity into your routine. Instead of pushing the elevator button and going down one floor, take the stairs. Instead of spending 5 minutes driving around looking for that parking place, just park and walk. There's very simple ways of building activity into your daily routine. And last but not least, is I would say pick a food, not to eliminate, but pick a food to add to your diet. One of my relatives wanted to lose weight, and they were very much wanting a specific program. And I didn't want to give them a program, because oftentimes we restrict ourselves with eating. And I think that's a big mistake. We want to eat more, but way less. And I simply told them, before you eat every meal, eat one apple before every meal. And literally, they did this for approximately 4 months. They lost 20 pounds because it wasn't necessarily the apple that was the magic, but they were so full, so they didn't eat the other things that were bad for them. So focus on not the bad, but the positive. And keep in mind, it's always replacing the bad with something better. That is our watchword, something better.
Wow, such good words of wisdom today for our listeners. We appreciate that. Dr. Tim Riesenburger has been with us via Skype. Dr. Riesenburger, thank you for your words of wisdom. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Charles.
HeartWiseMinistries.org is the website. This program is sponsored by HeartWise Ministries. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Riesenburger, inviting you to remain HeartWise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.